It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Hour number two still to come for you in this hour. We will hear from Browns quarterback Robert Griffin III, who was on Mike and Mike. We will also hear from Adam Kaplan live on our show today. He is very plugged into what's going on in Philadelphia. We'll get his take on everything that's happening around Carson Wentz and that football team, and that will come up at 2:30 for you here on today's show. Of course, don't forget P3. It's the original protein getting grilled, and right now we're going to grill Matt Wilhelm on how you prepare for a guy like Carson Wentz, who has 38 NFL snaps on his resume from week one of the preseason, the most vanilla of vanilla times. He doesn't have Division I college tape. You know about his college tape. You know the Senior Bowl. But how do you prepare for Carson Wentz in this game?
You and I discussed this. I asked Gribble the same question. And the best that I can probably come up with is you look at who makes up the AFC West. And you've got the Chargers, who've been kind of a hybrid defense, a little bit of 3-4, a little bit of 4-3 because of personnel issues. You've got the Raiders, who've been 4-3. You've got the Broncos, who are a 3-4 defense. And maybe you go back and look at what Doug Peterson, as an offensive coordinator, has constructed against similar schemes that Ray Horton potentially is going to play. A little bit of 4-3, a little bit of 3-4. And how he wants to attack those. And then you start to, you know, anything that you see repeatedly time after time after time, maybe there's hitches against a team that plays quarters. You know, maybe there's slant routes against, you know, got teams that play with outside man technique, whatever it is, or a certain type of run you play versus a certain type of front. So you start to study those. And in this case, I'll be very honest, it's not so much about Carson Wentz. And I hate to say that because you have such limited film. You will not go watch North Dakota State film. You won't. You won't go watch the Senior Bowl. You won't, because you really don't care. It's all so different because he's in an Eagles uniform now, and he wasn't in those two, you know, kind of films. And then I think what you also have to do is you have to break down every single play of the preseason, because that is the core, the basics of the Doug Peterson passing running offense. And then you start to go into back to past history about, well, okay, they showed this. What can they do off of it? What are the different route combinations they do off of it? And then I think in some cases you might start to study what Jordan Matthews did best last year. What were some of Ryan Matthews' most successful runs? You know, Zach Ertz, you know, what does he run best? Because that's what they're going to feature, because they're going to want to give Carson Wentz layups early in this football game. And if you can show one thing and play another, or take away those layups and have him get to his third read, that's hopefully by the time we think Joe Schobert, Emmanuel Ogba, Carl Nassibor knocking him on his butt. So I really think it's not going to be so much. They're not going to give Carson Wentz a lot. They're going to go, what are the 30 things that Carson Wentz does well and has looked the best between the offseason and the OTAs and the preseason, even though it hasn't been game snaps? What does he do best? What are his favorite throws? What are the easy reads that we can give him? Probably a lot of half-the-field reads, the same way they give Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston until he really got an understanding of what the NFL game is all about. We did it here with Johnny Manziel. They're going to do it with Carson Wentz because they know the quickest way to lose that football game, even against the Cleveland Browns, for it to get out of hand is to have Carson Wentz have to come back to his fourth or fifth read. It's not going to happen for a rookie. It really never has. So I really do believe it's going to be an extension of the basics of what they feel Carson Wentz can essentially execute on Sunday.
And when you look at this for Carson Wentz, you know, two things. Number one, when you look at Peterson, he was the coordinator for Kansas City. The Browns played Kansas City, I believe it was week 16 last year in Kansas City. So that was, you got to see how he reacted to a 3-4. Granted, a different 3-4 than what you're running now under Ray Horton, but a 3-4. So there should be some familiarity with it there. But for Carson Wentz, as I said, 38 NFL snaps. He's gone against his own defense, which has run that wide nine with Jim Schwartz, a 4-3 defense. He's gone against the Bucs, which is a traditional 4-3 defense. And it was funny talking with the Buccaneers players and listening to Dirk Cotter after those joint practices. They struggled with the 3-4 the first time they saw it in practice in those first 2 days. And part of the reason was they weren't ready for it. Carson Wentz hasn't seen anything with a 3-4. He hasn't worked with that offensive line. He hasn't worked with those receivers at all. And he's going to be thrown in the fire. This is a game that the Browns defense should be able to confuse him, at least put themselves in opportunities for a couple interceptions or sacks where he just eats the ball because he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, with it. And even furthermore, if Carson Wentz has a hand, which they might take this away from him in you know, calling a run play or changing a run play or flipping which side they run the run play, that may actually fall on the center and not Carson Wentz, because they don't want the indecision, they don't want the indecisiveness, they don't want, you know, him guessing in some situations or running right into a blitz. So they'll take that away from him and possibly give that to a center to flip the play or maybe build in two calls. And it's going to be, if we get X, we're going to run play one, or if we get this front, we're going to run play two. And then you see him checking at the line of scrimmage. So they're going to do everything they can to limit the amount of thinking for Carson Wentz. That's why what we're going to have to cover, say we had Philadelphia week four, you know, three games of experience, Carson Wentz is going to be that. He's going to be able to handle that much more. And I think so. But seeing him week one, and as you said, to your point, and I read some of his comments that were on Pro Football Talk about, I've always been ready. There is nothing. And I think Hugh Jackson exemplifies that each and every day, just simply based on the way he constructed his 53-man roster. If you didn't get it done on the practice field and you didn't buy in and execute his stuff and show him the characteristics that he wants in a Cleveland Brown, you not only didn't play, you are not on this roster.
Yeah.
So there is nothing that you can exchange. You can't get a mental rep, means nothing like playing the actual game and getting those opportunities to see it and have it happen right in front of your face.
And he hasn't played in 3 weeks.
Right.
He hasn't played since the first preseason games coming out there. This should be a game that Ray Horton's got to feel he can dial something up, because it's one thing to hear about it, but until you've seen it, you know, you haven't seen anything. And he hasn't been able to see this stuff. And Kevin Drozen says, I'd say the answer to how you prepare for Carson Wentz is you make him prepare for you. He's got to be. His mind must be spinning with all the different blitz combinations that the Browns could bring from the Ray Horton film, et cetera, that he just hasn't seen.
You're right. And what it's going to be, it's going to be, when they play this coverage, you make this throw. When they do this, when they rotate this safety that way, it's going to be this coverage, make this throw. So it's almost, they're almost coaching him to be robotic, you know? So that's where we try to do our, we're going to own our stuff. And then if we make something else look like something different and play something else behind it, that's the way, you know, he thinks, well, coach said when the safety rolls, it's going to be cover three and I can throw that hit, that out or that hitch. Well, we roll that safety and play, you know, cover six and roll up the corner, and he's sitting there underneath that hitch or underneath that out, and we play quarters on the backside. But because we rolled that safety, it's everything we do because of the, and even more so, it's not so much about practice. The way that they're going to catch up Carson Wentz, because he's going to have a limited playbook, is going to be by film study. So he's going to watch hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of what we do, so that it becomes photographic in his mind that every time he sees that safety move, we do a certain thing. When we don't, when we move that safety and don't do that thing, is when we're going to get our big plays.
Yeah, and this is a guy that the one knock on him coming out of college, or one of the things other than the level of competition he played against, was that when his first read wasn't there, sometimes he struggled to get through his progressions quickly. And in the NFL, you have to be able to do that very quickly. And I think you're going to see the Browns try to confuse him a lot. The key is going to be, though, they have got to stop the run. They cannot let Ryan Matthews run all over them and put him in manageable situations. If they need to get him in third and longs where it's clearly pass situations and they can bring the heat.
Right, and I think a rookie quarterback can make weight with a solid run game and not having to rely on throwing the football any more than 10 yards down the field.
Yeah.
You know, get the ball into my playmaker's hands after 3 yards, a three-yard, you know, reception, and allow him the opportunity to turn up the field and make a guy miss, put on a move, and get five. Now we're in third and two instead of third and six plus. Little situations like that, that again, if we can shut down the run, you allow Carson Wentz to have to beat you with his arm, and that plays significantly into our favor.
It does. Speaking of the quarterbacks in this game, it is Carson Wentz's first start in the National Football League. This will be Robert Griffin III's first start with the Cleveland Browns. He was on Mike and Mike this morning, and he was asked, what does he feel about the opportunity to revive his career here in Cleveland?
It's a beautiful opportunity to get a chance to go somewhere and, you know, play this game. Great people here in Cleveland, Sashi, the Haslams, Coach. They gave me an opportunity to come in and win the job, and did just that. So it's been a blessing. And, you know, I just look forward to having an opportunity to help restore football in Cleveland with my teammates. Not as much about restoring my own career. It's about doing what this team needs to give this city what it deserves.
And the city deserves, wants, and needs a champion. And it's, you know, there is still a lot of work to be done to get there. But if Robert Griffin III can come and become that franchise quarterback that he certainly looked like in Washington, that will go a long way towards that. RG3 was also asked about the opportunity to play with former Baylor teammate Josh Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can watch the play against Atlanta, and that'll tell you how he looked. He's been amazing. And, you know, Josh is in a position where he has a lot to prove, you know, to himself and to all of his supporters. And, you know, I've always, you know, been there for Josh, and he's a teammate from college. So I know what he's about, and I know that he's willing to go out and do what it takes to show everybody that he has changed. And, you know, football is something that he really does care deeply about.
And I believe that he has changed. It will obviously take time to see it, but I do believe that this is a man who has changed, Josh Gordon. And finally, RG3 was asked about a receiver who's going to be starting alongside Corey Coleman for him in game number one. That's Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, I mean, TP's transition from quarterback to wide receiver has been phenomenal. You know, I think everybody knows how much of an athlete he is, you know, how tall he is, how big he is, how fast he is. But it's never easy to make that transition from one position to another. And he's done it beautifully. You know, I'm going in to watch tape with him right now. And, you know, it's fun to have a former quarterback playing wideout because he can see the game a different way. But that transition, we've all seen it. I know some of the guys were here last year and got to see him start that process. And, you know, I've seen him finish it and become, you know, our starting receiver. So it's been truly a pleasure to play with him and see him make that transition. I told him, you know, a few weeks back that I'm proud of him because me and TP, we grew up together, basically, you know, across the country from one another, both quarterbacks in the same graduating class. And, you know, he was at Ohio State when I was at Baylor. So it's been fun to watch, and I know how hard it's been for him. So I'm real proud of him. I know a lot of the team is proud of him as well.
Certainly one of the great stories, Terrell Pryor, his development. He's going to get an opportunity to start and hopefully make some big plays for the Browns offense in this game as they take on the Philadelphia Eagles in the season opener. And, you know, you and I saw it, to be honest or to be fair about it, it was in many ways not shocking, but certainly surprising to see the development of Terrell Pryor, a guy that coming into camp you thought would struggle probably to make this team, and instead he comes out and it was one of the best receivers in camp the entire time for this team. So he's going to have the opportunity to go out there and do it. His only time in at receiver was week 17 against Steelers, did have a 40-yard catch in that game, and hopefully you'll see some big plays and just some consistency from him overall against the Eagles.
And that consistency is going to be enough. You know, consistently a deep ball threat, consistently catch the football, consistently run the route tree that Hugh Jackson's going to ask him to do. You'd love to say, I want to see what we saw from Terrell Pryor each and every week of the season and have him look like Josh Gordon. That's not realistic. The consistency is what has gotten him to where he's at this year, starting for the Cleveland Browns. Coming out every day, having the incremental growth, having Al Saunders up as you-know-what, holding him accountable to the little things that it takes to play successful wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, and we'll see. That'll be the first opportunity to do that on what we'll call a full-time basis while Josh Gordon serves his four-game suspension. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Still to come, Adam Kaplan joins us on the Ohio Business Machines hotline. He is as plugged into this Philly franchise as anybody. He will have his thoughts on Carson Wentz and what happened there with Philly. That's coming up at 2:30. We'll go around the league and take your calls when we return.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Let's bring in Danny, and let's go around the league.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Danny.
Number one.
What was the most surprising cut this past weekend in the NFL?
Most surprising cut. I was so in tune with the Cleveland Browns that I wasn't so much in tune with anybody else. Go ahead, Nathan. I'll let you go first.
Well, I think anytime a first-round pick gets out and out, cut D. Milliner of the New York Jets, I thought that was a surprise. I think probably the one that was the biggest shocker at the time, but since you saw their plan was when the Ravens cut Justin Forsett, but then they brought him back into the mix at just a lower number.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? Honestly, I was very in tune to my Labor Day weekend and the Cleveland Browns as well as the Ohio State Buckeyes on Saturday taking care of business that I wasn't so worried about anybody else.
And I'd say for the Browns, the biggest surprise was probably, you know, Marlon Moore, Taylor Gabriel, both not making the team. To me, anyway.
Number two.
Who comes out as the winner in the Sam Bradford trade? Philly or Minnesota?
I'm going to say that the Philadelphia Eagles actually might come out better in this situation. And the reason why, they get a first-round pick that they've lost and trading out or trading up to the number two position, and yet they still do have two very capable quarterbacks. Obviously, Carson Wentz, who we spoke about, who will start against the Cleveland Browns, and Chase Daniel, who they paid a decent chunk of change to be their backup there in Philly.
I would say that when you think about what the Eagles gave up to get Carson Wentz, the future first, future seconds, to get that first back from the Vikings is a big win for them. I don't think anybody thought they were in danger of winning the Super Bowl this year, so to get a first-round pick back for Sam Bradford was very good, and I think they capitalized on the fear and the panic in Minnesota following the injury to Teddy Bridgewater. But at the same time, Minnesota believes they have a Super Bowl-level team. They believe that the time is now, given Adrian Peterson's age, and they wanted to get a quarterback who played well over the second half of last year, and Sam Bradford's never played with a great running game, and they feel good about it. So I think it'll be, we'll know at the end of the year, if the Vikings make the playoffs and have a good run and he plays well, then I'd say the Vikings certainly were winners. But at the same time, the Eagles will be winners. But as it is with draft picks, and certainly being in the Browns organization, you know this, those are great assets to get, but they only matter if they turn into tangible success and you get franchise players with them.
Number three.
What should the realistic expectations be for former Ohio State Buckeye Joey Bosa this season?
Realistic expectations, I would say 7 sacks is probably a realistic expectation on what he can do. And I think a lot of it's going to have to do with how much early opportunity that he will get as a part of that scheme, as John Pagano's had them ready. You know, they're, 3.5 weeks into their the bulk of their work via training camp in the preseason before he even reported. So I would say 7 sacks is probably an over-under, you know, really good Vegas number on what you think you're going to get out of Joey Bosa.
I think that would be a phenomenal year for him. I think you can expect him still to have a solid year. Remember, Odell Beckham's rookie year, he was bothered by a hamstring injury. He didn't even play in the first 4 games, and I think we all remember what he did in that rookie season. So Joey Bosa, if the talent is there, I still think he's got a little bit of a transition into that from the first round to from the 4-3 DN to that 3-4 where he's going to be playing in that defense. But for the most part, I do believe that he's going to have a solid rookie season, and he won't be hindered too much by the debacle that happened there. Shout out to our guy John Costco, who said the other biggest surprise cut, Josh Sitton, the guard from the Green Bay Packers.
I forgot about who's now already signed with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
And he's had to, because they're interdivision rivals, he's actually had to come out and say that if he wasn't, you know, it was just a great fit in Chicago, who basically paid him and gave him the most interest, not because he wants to get back at the Green Bay Packers in any way, shape, and form.
Yep.
Number four.
If you are the New Orleans Saints, do you back up the Brinks truck to Drew Brees' door at this point in his career?
I think you don't. So that would be fiction. I think Drew Brees, there is a value on Drew Brees for what he has done for the New Orleans organization, essentially putting them back on the map and getting them a Super Bowl ring and a Super Bowl trophy. But at this point right now, I think Drew Brees is a step behind his prime, if that were to make sense, or step below his prime. He is, you know, he'll throw the ball all over the yard, but that doesn't turn into wins anymore the way it used to when the New Orleans Saints were the leaders in that division.
if they feel like they legitimately will be in the Super Bowl mode at that point, then yes, because he is a franchise quarterback. But if not, then no, you don't sink a bunch of money in when you're going to be turning things over. So that's where I would stand on that. All right, that's Around the League. We'll take a break when we come back. Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider. He is regular on 97.5, the Fanatic in Philly, and he knows everything that went on with Carson Wentz, the Bradford trade. We'll talk to him about this matchup, his expectations for this Eagles team this year, Carson Wentz's readiness for week one, and much, much more on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD, and very excited to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now and bring in ESPN NFL insider Adam Kaplan. Adam, thanks for joining the show.
Guys, good to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you as well. Obviously, has not been a dull week in Philadelphia. Let's kind of just start with the whole quarterback situation, the Bradford trade, Wentz being named the starter. What happened there?
Well, I think what happened was the Vikings were aggressive with the Eagles. The Eagles were going to go forward with Sam Bradford as their starter. They're really excited about his progress. In fact, they had told me that Bradford never looked better in their eyes. I mean, he definitely built on last year's second half where he played well, and he continued in their offseason program and really in training camp in the preseason. And it was just kind of bizarre. I mean, certainly you just don't see a starting quarterback who the Eagles believe was above average, certainly, traded a week before the season starts. But that's really what happened, because the Vikings were extremely aggressive. Rick Spielman wanted his man, Sam Bradford. And from an Eagles standpoint, before we go to the Vikings, they had to still pay a signing bonus. The second installment of the signing bonus was due last Thursday. So the Eagles had to get something in worth back, because they were paying almost a third of his total compensation. That's why they asked for a first-round pick and then some. They got a first and a conditional fourth, which could be a much higher if Bradford and the Vikings really achieve greatness this season. But so you understand what the Vikings were trying to do here as we transition over there. The Vikings clearly, after losing Teddy Bridgewater for the season and potentially into next season, no one really knows. I mean, you hear people around the league think it's going to be around maybe 12 months. We'll see. My colleague Ed Werder reported today that he's going to have surgery Thursday. Then they'll get a better idea. But the reason why the Vikings did that, talking to them, it's real simple. They had Super Bowl aspirations. I remember talking to a Vikings source on Friday when I heard this deal could go, but it was maybe somewhat of a long shot early Friday afternoon. The Vikings felt that Sam Bradford, after they reviewed his tape, they really thought the second half of last season, as the Eagles did, was really good. And they think they could go far with Sam Bradford as quarterback.
And so they made that move, and then the ripple effect of that is that now Carson Wentz, who at one point it sounded like wasn't even going to be active at all in his rookie season, Carson Wentz, who played 38 snaps against the Bucs in week one of the preseason, got hurt and hasn't played since, will now be the starting quarterback in week one. How did that decision happen?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So on Saturday, my assumption, like everyone else's, was that Chase Daniel, who was the number two quarterback, would start.
Yep.
I called around just to see, you know, where Wentz was in his recovery from that rib injury, which he suffered about 4 weeks ago. I was told by one person, no, we're going forward with Carson Wentz. I was like, really? This is not kind of what I had heard. So immediately I checked around, and I had two other people say, yeah, we're going forward with Carson Wentz. And with the caveat, as I reported on late Saturday morning, early afternoon, that as long as he's healthy and recovered from his rib injury, he would indeed start, and he will be the starter for the rest of the season. The Eagles confirmed that Monday. Doug Peterson did at his press conference, and that's what they're going to do. But to your question about what was the original plan, yes. Back after they drafted him, because he had come from 1AA, he had not started a lot of games at North Dakota State, they didn't want to rush him. They unless with Bradford started, unless Bradford suffered a debilitating injury where he'd be out several weeks, not two or three, or they were out of the playoff race, let's say Thanksgiving, they weren't going to play once this season. But a couple things happened. A, once they got him in their program, once they got him in their building, once they got to know him, they felt he was so smart and so sharp and so mentally aware and mature, they thought that the process of getting him ready to play this season was moved up a bit. but they were still going to go forward with Bradford. That was not going to change. But then when they made this trade, let's put it this way. If Sam Bradford suffered a high ankle sprain, it was going to be out 4 weeks, and he was still on the team, I think it would have been Chase Daniel. But okay, once they made that trade, Bradford's gone for the season. Remember, Bradford, we didn't talk about this. We'll talk about it briefly. He signed a two-year deal, and you can get out with it. The hit on the cap is only $4 million as far as how much money they would owe him. So, and it has offset language as well. So I think the way that the Eagles saw it, you know what? We were going to probably move Bradford after the season anyway, cut him or trade him, because we drafted Wentz second overall. So that if you look at the whole situation, so it's certainly more understandable when you think about it.
It definitely is. And something that I guess as a former player for me, and I think for the players currently in the locker room, that's always sometimes an issue is the type of faith that you might have in a rookie quarterback starting your season, your 2016 and 17 season, without seeing a lot of them. How much belief is there within the organization? Maybe from a management standpoint, there's belief based on what you see and you hear, but how about the players and their faith in Carson Wentz to lead them this football season?
They like him because he's got tremendous leadership skills for a guy who's not played the quarterback position at a high level for very long. I just think he has this swagger from talking to people close to the situation just permeates throughout their locker room. And I think to your point, Matt, I think the way that most people looked at it was, doesn't he have to win over the locker room? Not really, from the standpoint of he's so confident and he's so smart. And the other thing we didn't mention, he's so athletic that they just felt like this is such a natural, easy decision. It's one that some people think they forced, but I don't think internally they look at it that way.
Talking with Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at KaplanNFL here on the Ohio Business Machine hotline. Talking about Carson Wentz being there. You know, they talk about how smart he is, good in the film room, et cetera, but just kind of thinking out loud, in practice he's going against Jim Schwartz's, you know, wide nine, a 4-3. His only preseason action was against a 4-3 in Tampa Bay. Do they really think he can be fully ready to take on a 3-4 defense for the first time in his career just right out of the gate?
Well, the Eagles feel that the other broken rib he had is healed sufficiently, so they've cleared him to play. And the other thing is, I'm told over the last couple weeks his throwing sessions have been outstanding, where I think after the first one he was a little sore, then consequently after that he felt really good, minimal soreness, felt really good, and they're like, wow, okay, he looks like he's going to be ready if we need him at some point, because he's recovered. And after they made the trade, they just felt like he was ready to go. Now, when you talk about Jim Schwartz's 43 front and all that he does, he's handled it, from what I understand, in practice pretty well. The problem with Wentz is every now and then, and this was an issue, mechanics, his footwork needed to be adjusted a little bit after they got him.
Yep.
Because they teach it in one way at North Dakota State. Although he played in a pro system, the footwork was different. And I'm also told the carriage point, which means the level where you hold the football, he held it up too high. So they adjusted that a little bit. And other than that, they feel so great about it because he's big, he's tough, he's smart, he's athletic. And he's got great football character. The game means a lot to him. People close to the situation tell me that the game means a lot to him, and that's something that's very important, because he's not going to be going out drinking beers with his buddies during the week. He's going to be studying.
Given that this all kind of happened, and the plan while Bradford was there, which he was basically until this past weekend, that Wentz wasn't going to be the starter, probably wasn't going to play. Has he gotten, prior to this week, any reps with the first team or really even the second team? Or is this going to be one week to get on page with everybody on the first team?
Yeah, remember, he got hurt in the first preseason game. That was 4 weeks ago. So limited twos. I don't know that he got any with the ones. I'd have to check on that. But typically, as you know, the threes, even though it's your second pick overall, typically are not. It's interesting with the Rams. The Rams got Jared Goff, work with the ones, but he wasn't ready, so he's now the third string quarterback, depending on if they go forward with what their plan was. Because Goff just simply did not progress enough, although I've heard he's actually doing fine. They just are not going to overwhelm him. As the Rams told me, GM Les Snead said, we're going to let this happen organically. We're not going to force it. So, and you know what's funny? When you talk to each team, their theory on when to play a first-round pick at quarterback seems to be different depending on who you speak with.
Sure. And Adam, one question that we have, and this is coming from a Cleveland Browns standpoint, as we've just learned that Carson Wentz is going to be the starter for the in our week one opponent in the Philadelphia Eagles. What type of game planning do you think the Cleveland Browns have to prepare for? Are they preparing more for, you know, everything that Doug Peterson essentially has accomplished, maybe in his from his Kansas City days with Andy Reid, or are we going to get a glimpse of just, you know, the basic stuff that they ran in the preseason, but yet Carson Wentz was not a part of that? So is it a little bit of an unknown on what that offense is actually going to look like with Carson Wentz, or can we base it on what Doug Peterson's done in his past?
Right. First of all, this is I asked a quarterback coach this. I said, how would you approach it if you were the Eagles? He said, I would make it as easy as I could for Wentz to get off to a good start. Nice, quick, easy throws. Get the ball out quickly. Get him some confidence. Get some completions. Then, if he's doing well and they protect him, expand the passing game. The Eagles' offense, you're going to see this Sunday. It's two tight ends, two receivers, or one back, three receivers. We're going to be a primary one-back, three-receiver offense. The problem is the receiver group just didn't work out like they had hoped. They cut Chris Givens, Ruben Randall. That didn't work out. They may only dress four receivers. I mean, it's been rough. Other than Jordan Matthews' comeback with his knee injury, he missed 3 weeks, but I'm told he'll be fine for this week's game. But that's a position, I'll tell you what, the Browns are facing the Eagles at the right time because Carson Wentz is an untested quarterback, and you don't have to worry about the receivers at all. They have trouble getting open. But I think what they're going to do, I think the coaching staff will scheme to get these guys open. They'll be multi-formational. And that's the only way that these guys are going to score. The Eagles' defense should be good in the front seven.
Yes.
Corner, you're going to – Robert Griffin III, I expect Hugh Jackson to dial up deep passes to go after those corners because the Eagles right now, they don't have a quality starting corner. To me, they're all backups. If you put them on a playoff-bound team – but you have to play who you have.
Yes, you do, and the Browns know that very well. Obviously, a lot of people looking at the moves made by Sashi Brown and putting together his first 53-man roster, a very young group here in Cleveland. What were your impressions of this roster, and what do you think are the realistic expectations for the Browns this season?
Well, guys, I like the approach. I'm probably in the minority talking to people around the league, but I kind of like this. You know, your goal should never be 6-10, 7-9, 8-8. Which, if they didn't dump a lot of the roster by trade or release, they wouldn't have been better than 8-8, and that probably would have been a stretch. So why not retool and restart, which they clearly are doing, and they're going to build for the draft. They've added so many future draft picks, so many assets. I really like that because the fans have suffered so long. Why not build towards something? That's been the problem. Everyone knows that in Cleveland with all the changes of coaching staffs and regimes and front offices.
Yeah.
Now they're going to build for the draft, not for free agency. People, if you're patient and they draft well, now the other part is, as someone brought up to me the other day, let's see how this personnel staff evaluates. You mentioned Sashi Brown and his staff. We don't know how they're going to be able to, because they're brand new. Paul DePodesta is new to the National Football League.
Sure.
He came from MLB. Ken Kovach got a major promotion. Who's an analytics man. He's now going to have a major say in personnel. Dan Sagany is a guy that a lot of people in the league like. He's a
fine man.
He's a little bit lower, but people really respect him. But the kid that they brought over
Andrew
from the Colts, right? Andrew
Berry.
So when you look at it, this is untested. We just don't know how well they evaluate, but they're going to have a lot of draft picks. And if they could get two or three right every draft by 2019, is kind of what I projected. That's maybe, if they hit on everything and quarterback, that would be the earliest I see them getting back to the playoffs.
All right, Adam, we certainly appreciate the time. The last question I'll leave you with, do the Browns finally get a win on opening day this year?
No, I don't. I expect the Eagles to win by 10 points or more. I would be surprised if the Browns won that game.
All right.
After everything you just said, you still lose by 10.
Oh, okay. Man.
But again, we're talking about the future when it's the Browns. I do like this approach.
It's
going
to take time.
First
it's not
week,
overnight.
Third week. Please be patient. That's what I'm telling people.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Adam. We appreciate the time as always.
Thank you.
All right. Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider there. Sounded like they're going to keep it real basic. Wentz has gotten zero reps with the first team. And they're going to drub us by 10, double figures. I hope not.
I'll take that bet.
That would be devastating, in the words of Broken Matt Hardy. I'd become Broken Nathan Zagura. Bleat. All right, we'll be back. Final thoughts here. Last opportunity to call up 216-578-0850 on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD, wrapping it up here on this game week Tuesday. And we talked with Adam Kaplan there. So obviously not a lot of preparation. It's going to be very basic for Carson Wentz. But he referenced the cornerbacks of this football team. Doesn't like them. Their starters are Leotis McKelvin, who is certainly a little long in the tooth now, was a nickel corner in Buffalo. Now he's a starter here. And Nolan Carroll, also a starter as well for them, a former cast-off from the Miami Dolphins who's a starter now with this team. So this is not exactly the best secondary. He thinks that's where the Browns can attack.
But yeah, again, and I
no
still
Josh Gordon.
And I still feel like, based on everything that we saw from an explosive play standpoint on offense, for Adam to make that comment about their corners and about how they're backups, right? And how Carson Wentz is going to need confidence early in the game, dinking and dunking, given quick, you know, the combination of running game and quick passing in Carson Wentz's favor with our playmaking ability, that we still lose by 10.
It could happen. We'll see.
Well, of course, anything
can
happen.
Certainly could happen.
Sure.
Yeah, we've just
got I just don't feel that that's – they don't go hand in hand.
I hope not.
Are we going to lose 34-33 something? 34-23? Something?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a low-scoring
game. I agree.
For both sides of it, I think the Browns should be able to keep Carson Wentz and company out of the end zone a lot, and I think the defense very good here. You've got up front Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Benny Logan, Connor Barwin. Your linebackers, Michael Kendrick's a great player, Jordan Hicks in the middle, and Nigel Bradham, former Buffalo Bill as well there in that front seven, which is really the strength of this defense. They've got backups of Vinnie Curry, Stephen Tulloch, that people have heard about as well. It's going to be a tough one. The Browns line is going to have to play well and set up this run game so that you can use play action and take advantage of those corners there. But I don't see this again. And look, Vegas has it a four-point game. We'll see where it ends up before kickoff. I don't see this being a blowout one way or the other, but I do think it is the Browns have a much better chance of winning this game now that Carson Wentz is starting. How important is chemistry? I mean, you know this. Carson Wentz has not worked with the first team at all. He will do that in 1 week.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, you kind of, you know, clued me in, and I asked the question to Adam about, you know, the chemistry in the locker room, and 10 guys have walked into the huddle with a different guy for the last 40-plus days, and all of a sudden, you've got a new quarterback in there, you know, how he calls the huddle, how he breaks the huddle, his mannerisms at the line of scrimmage. That's why I said it's going to be a little bit robotic for Carson Wentz, even though he's got the moxie and the swagger of being a leader. That's all fine and good, but he's still a rookie. He has yet to do it. And I think, as I always say, when the rookies are drafted into a team, you're always like, yeah, you treat him like a rookie until he shows you he's not playing like a rookie, and then you accept him for his value to help you win football games.
Are you surprised? Because he said everybody in the Eagles said this is the best they'd seen Sam Bradford. The team had obviously seen that in practice. They were probably actually getting excited about Sam Bradford. And then all of a sudden he's gone, and in is Carson Wentz, this rookie who not only – it's not like he could have been lighting it up in practice the last 3 weeks. He wasn't even practicing – at all. How does that really play to the locker room? They like his leadership and all that. I get all of that, but you're talking about a guy who hasn't even been on the practice field and losing your starting quarterback right before game one of the season.
Yeah, it's, I mean, in some cases, if I'm Jason Peters or the left tackle, I'm protecting a spot anyway. You learn very quickly what a quarterback likes to do, and they know the spot that Sam Bradford liked to stand, or Chase Daniel, for that matter, even like to stand. Now, Carson Wentz, who's a little bit more athletic, probably going to be a little frantic in the pocket. You're going to protect a spot, and eventually he's going to roll to, you know, to his left behind Jason Peters, and Peters is going to give up a sack and get PO'd because that sack goes on his ballot for the season for Pro Bowl voting. And it's going to take some time for them to understand the little nuances that Carson Wentz and what makes him different than Bradford and Daniel. And I think Doug Peterson has got to do the same thing.
Got to. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. It is the season opener. Tomorrow we'll start to get into the hump day matchup report here on CBD. We'll get you all the things you need. We want to hear from you as well. You guys can call your shots as the week goes on. for this game. It's going to be a heavy dose of Ryan Matthews out of the backfield for the Philadelphia Eagles as Carson Wentz makes his first start for this team. They're going to rely on defense and special teams. They've got Donnie Jones, Caleb Sturgis there on special teams. Of course, I bet you'll see a lot of Darren Sproles out of the backfield in this one as well. All right, that will do it for us today. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Big thanks to Adam Kaplan for joining us here on the show. For Danny, for Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.